Some of you have heard this story before. Frank Griswold was my bishop in Chicago for most of my time as a priest physically resident in that diocese. The year I went to St. Paul's Church in San Miguel de Allende in the middle of Mexico, he went to New York to become presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, which is to say, we knew each other, not close friends, but we knew each other as bishop and priest. And he was good at knowing his clergy. The next time I saw Bishop Griswold was the year he retired. He and his wife, Phoebe, went to San Miguel for their first post-retirement vacation. A retired priest from California living in San Miguel heard of Griswold's presence there and arranged a luncheon with several of his, the priest's, friends of a certain social standing. And Sherry and me, because I was the rector of St. Paul's. One of the women there, whom I had seen only rarely in church, asked, "Why don't we say the Ten Commandments in church anymore? I remember when we used to recite it every Sunday." Another indicator of the time when she was last really active in the church. Frank, as he was at that table post-retirement, thought for a couple of ticks and then said, "I think Bishop Pike got it right when he suggested that we sing the Ten Commandments, like the Gloria or the Creed in a sung Eucharist." It was almost an aside, certainly a comment crafted on the fly, but it has stayed with me these 15 years. One reason it has endured in my memory is that the Ten Commandments in whole or part come up in the readings once each year as today. Another is that when we worship according to Rite 1 in Lent, we have them put before us in the prayer book. And we might recite them one of the next couple of Sundays. But the main reason the comment has stuck with me is the implication, at least in my mind, of the importance of getting the music, the lyrical, spiritual sense, as well as the words, the black and white legalistic sense of the Decalogue. Anyone who's ever learned a foreign language and actually used it in day-to-day dealings with native speakers knows that the music of the language is as crucial to being understood as the letter perfect written or spoken language itself. I've heard a couple of comedians do bits about someone making or bluffing their way through a situation in a foreign country using only a few typical sounds and proper inflection, the music, with the right attitude and got what they wanted or got out of what they didn't want to be in. Music in this sense can go a long way toward making oneself understood. Today's hymns serve as examples, speaking as they do of God's creative power and love and our responsibility to love God and to love each other. And each of them closes with some promise of God and a call to know and love God, to follow God's path of love. And as we read the psalm together, it struck me how much it is that way also. It's definitely the music of the commandments, that they are all aimed at enhancing our relationship with God and each other. Well, the music of today's other reading themselves is the movement from the flinty, uncompromising language of the Ten Commandments, Exodus version this time, to the flinty, uncompromising actions and judgments by Jesus as he runs the moneylenders out of the temple. Well, doesn't sound like much movement at all, you might be thinking. Oh, but it is, considering the music the spirit of the thing. Jesus' actions in this well-known scene are aimed precisely at those who would bend the Ten Commandments and the other 603 commandments in the Torah into a money-making enterprise. This morning, maybe for the first time ever, I scanned the 613 mitzvot and was impressed by the amount of detail and variety in both positive and negative commandments. That is the do this and the don't do this commandments. Some are tied to specific historical events and people. Number 598, blot out the memory of Amalek. And 599, curiously, remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people. Others are universal. Numbers 214 and 215, to keep promises and vows to God and not to break oaths or vows. The problem Jesus was animatedly addressing was the practice of those motivated by greed to turn the commandments about sacrifices and offerings into cash cows, no pun intended, stretching the admonitions against using exorbitant prices to provide sacrificial animals. In other words, this was about adhering to the strict letter of the law while ignoring what I've been calling the music or the essential intention, which Jesus made known was his mission on various occasions. Two of the most memorable were his responding to questions about which commandments were most important and whether he was trying to overturn all the traditions and laws of the Hebrews. To the first, he said, all the laws. And he didn't just mean the 10 that we have at the beginning of this Rite One liturgy, but all 613. All the law is summed up in the commandments to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. To the second question about, are you just throwing everything out? He said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And that's what we see him doing in today's gospel reading, reminding the moneylenders and any witnesses, including us, that the law is about not just this jot and tittle or that, but about the aim of all of the law taken together is how to love God by showing that in our lives and loving each other, even those who are unlovable. Fulfilling the law, the epitome of that is Jesus' self-sacrifice on the cross. And then calling us, well, all of his disciples, including us, to fulfill the essence of the law by loving God with all of our being and loving our neighbors as ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.